This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Ray Ferrar will join us here in a moment. Get into Shaq's comments yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show. We've got some audio from Dan Campbell, the new lunatic head coach down in Detroit with the Lions, and we've played a lot of his audio already. He added to the list earlier today. We'll get to it a little bit later on. Cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to in about an hour. And the Leafs are red hot. And it sounds like Matthews is going to return tomorrow night. He's back on the ice today with Thornton and with Marner. I guess that answers the question. Would he go back with Mitch Marner? It appears to be the case.
Dude, that's icing on top, man. That's icing on top when you're rolling like this and all of a sudden the big boy's back and it's like, okay, let's go on a complete heater right now. Not that we're already not. It's just, it's tough in pro sports to really take time to sit back and enjoy the present because there's always a losing streak around the corner. There's always a bad injury to an important player around the corner. But when things are cooking, man, sometimes, as us anyway, we can sit back and enjoy it. And I had people say to me all the time, they're like, I just can't enjoy this because I know blah, blah, blah. It's the Leafs.
It's a house of cards, and it's going to fall apart.
And I said, you know what? You can do whatever you want. I really don't care. I don't know you. It's your life. But what I will say is, why not enjoy this? Why not celebrate how good they are? And what they have, it's just like a coach for big games, like gold medal games in the junior Stanley Cup games. A coach will always say, what this is an excellent opportunity for these players to go out there and play well, to win a gold medal, to win a Stanley Cup. And at the end of the day, that's what the Leafs are going to have. They've always put themselves in a position to be in the playoffs, and this is going to be another excellent opportunity instead of just an opportunity to do some damage and go on a run. So that's what they got. Have fun with it. If you want to just be negative about it and say, I've been let down so many times in the past, if you want to take that approach, go ahead.
But that's
who the hell needs that?
But that's not them. Like
that's right.
Not
it's
the
not
players
their fault.
The
it's not Austin Matthews' fault.
But what I'm saying, though, is that's the fans talking. They're not sitting there in the dressing room going, nah, you know what? Like, Austin Matthews is not going, this is my fifth year. Like, I better. Like, what he's doing is, sounds to me, again, I'm not privy to behind the scenes, sounds to me like those guys are enjoying the process, enjoying the ride. Like, they don't look super stressed. They look very confident. Like, it's so different in the room and in an organization than they call it the white noise outside. The white noise is for the people that enjoy that. You know, if you're a fan of the team, great. You know, ride the highs, ride the lows. But the guys in the room, you know, I mean, you guys have talked about it. Like, they lock that stuff out. Yes, they're privy to Twitter and Instagram, and they watch TSN and everything else. But they also just go and play. I think they're having a ball.
Well,
they
should.
I personally do.
They should. They're winning a ton of games. I mean, they're first overall in the league. If you're not going to enjoy that, what are you playing for? But I'm sure they would also tell you in a candid moment, they understand the journey, and it's about an end goal here. It's not about winning in March. It's about putting yourself in a position to win come playoff time. But I can speak as a fan and someone that's been a part of this roller coaster. I noticed the difference in approach and difference in mentality in the third period last night. You referenced it earlier. Oh, in years past, up 3-0.
Watch this.
With Hutchinson and Nett going up against that team with McDavid and Draisaitl, I'd say they maybe need to hold on for a point here.
Dude,
honestly,
it would be a gift every time. It was a gift. Hold my beer.
And there would be times in the past, not long ago, where if you propositioned me in the second intermission, I'll give you a point. Do you want to take it? I'd say I'll take it. I like bargaining on the couch, saying I'll take the point because I don't know what's going to happen in the third. At no point did I feel like last night was going to get away from them. At no point. And that is a testament to what they built and the way they're playing right now. And they deserve that credit. As we said last hour, when they play poorly, we're the first ones to mention that and to talk about it and deal with that reality. When they're playing well, and this is the best they've played in a long time, it's going to be a tire pumping session. And it should be, just like it should be in Boston, and it should be in Florida, and it should be in Vegas. And You know, that's what comes with the territory when you put yourself in a position like the one the Leafs currently find themselves in. And they have put themselves in that spot, regardless of the hurdles they've had to deal with. And they've had to deal with a fair amount. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Pretty impressive again, Ray. It felt a lot like what we saw over the weekend. Just the Leafs kind of quick lead and never really felt uncomfortable. They just continued to cruise through 60 minutes and pick up 2 points.
The only worry I had watching that was at some point McDavid was going to shake loose, just like out of nothing, and just like make some incredible rush, which he made a couple of them, but and get them on the board. And maybe they get rattled just a little bit because they just mowed them down. That's two games in a row. But this has been going on for a long time. Like outside of that, I don't know, whatever you call it, against Ottawa, when they blew the big lead, like there hasn't been many times where they white knuckle things. Like they've been really good. I think it's, like I said last night, I think it's maybe time to acknowledge that this system and the way that they're playing it is like it's effective. It's not a fluke. It's longer term effective. Like that means they don't have to score 5 goals a game. They play like that.
Do you think they're the best team in the league right now, Ray, or does that still go to Tampa?
Oh, well, I don't know. Oh, I have a hard time making a comparison because they never play the same teams. You can't even compare them. Yeah. Oh, they both played Boston last week or something. It's really hard to tell.
There's no barometer game.
It's frustrating. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. Like I love it, but I also would like to see just one or two crossover games just to kind of wet your whistle a little bit, just to see a little different look.
It's like an interleague
play.
Can we play a team from the National League here? Just give me a weekend to see what the Dodgers are all about.
Right.
You know, I got to be honest with you because I'm getting a little tired of watching the same seven teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are or not or if you still think it's awesome, but for me, I'm like,
I don't.
Oh, man, three games in a row against the same guys, poof. You know, well, uncle.
And you have to wonder how the players feel, too. Like, they treat it like, I did the Calgary-Ottawa game last night, and they said, you know, they're treating game three like, you know, well, we split the first two. Let's see how the third one looks. They're treating it like little mini series. But, you know, when it's regular season, there's no fans, and you're playing, you know, you're basically in your hotel room and the rink. Like, it's tough. I feel for the guys. I think it's tough for them to get up for every moment, everything. That's why it's been great for how the Leafs have played, because they've been quite consistent, where you've seen a lot of inconsistency from other teams in the league where they go on a nice run and then they take a dump for a week because they just don't look good and they don't look motivated. That hasn't been the case with Toronto.
No, Noodles, you said you did that game last night.
Yeah.
What in the hell was going on in warm-up?
Yeah, that
those
was
guys.
Wild.
They looked like a beer league team out there.
And then they there played like it.
They were falling down, hit. Like, who hit Monahan in the head? He shot it from the blue line.
Johnny Gaudreau backhand saucered it as he was skating off the ice, and Monahan skated into it, and it hit him in the nose in the orbital area. I thought he wasn't going to play. He came out late to the bench. Like, he came out after the anthem. But you're right. Like, Hayes, you just said it. They were, I don't know, is that somebody's chair?
Yeah, that was a chair.
That'll be reviewed later. We'll review that later.
It'll be reviewed later.
I can take a picture. I'm standing right by my chair. I had to move it.
Okay. Anyways, it started off with Anderson and I think Valimaki ran into each other. Milan Lucic fell down and went headfirst into the boards.
Gio was staring at everyone. Just like, what are you doing out here?
Like, it was a gong show, and then I think there was a defenseman that ran into the goaltender on the way off, too. Like, it was Keystone Cops, and then they came out and played like it, too. And, man, Ottawa.
How many times this
deserves
year
a lot of credit.
Say, yeah.
I will say this, though.
Yeah, Ottawa, full credit to them. They're playing well. They're a couple of players stepping up. Batherson's playing really well.
How many times are we going to deal with Calgary, though, and say, man, they're not ready to start, their intensity? Like, that's probably the fifth time this year where they've said, man, just not ready, not good enough, blah, blah, blah. Usually those come into Jesus meetings. They're not every three games, and they're already at that point.
No, you're right.
And so now, of course, the focus drops, you know, right to the coach, right, onto Jeff Ward. But man, that group's been together a long time. Mm-hmm. Like the, you know, the big chunk of it there. Like, they got to take some responsibility for driving the bus here.
Agreed.
You know, like right from, you know, of course it's Goodrow and Monahan and Giordano, but it's Michael Backlund too. He's been there 700 plus games.
Well,
like they look like, I don't know, they look like every second game they look like they're just out there skating around.
It wasn't exactly smooth sailing last year either, right? Like, they were not that good.
Something, like, I look at their roster and I look at their lines and I'm like, man, they should be better. I think they should be better. But they don't seem to play with any real emotion to their game. Like, they don't, there's no relentlessness. There's only a couple of guys I look at and I'm like, man, their legs are going all the time. There's not very many of them. And I'm really surprised because I had picked Calgary as, you know, as the third best team. Of course, I had Montreal second, but they haven't been any good either. So, but I'm really surprised. Like, I thought after they played their last game there where they came out and they just really handed it to Ottawa pretty good, I thought they were, okay, it looks like they're going to, you know, they're going to be engaged here. And then they came out and, you know, they couldn't even get out of the warm-up, you know.
Like, quite literally, the warm-up was the end of the game. Like, it was a precursor to what was about to develop. And you mentioned Montreal, and they're playing Ottawa tonight.
Yeah.
And they go with Carey Price, which I do think is the right move. I think you got to try to trigger them. You got to get them going. Yep. You don't want to feed the mob and play Jake Allen. And everyone's doing the comparisons right now anyway. Jake Allen stats compared to Carey stats and Price's first seven starts, his second seven starts. He's your guy, right? Like, he has to be your guy. And I think it's the right move. And I got to believe Montreal is inspired tonight. You know, Ottawa's been playing better, but coming off a back-to-back, they're still not an overly talented team. That hasn't changed. This should be a win tonight.
Well, it has to be.
It has to be a win tonight. It has to be a win tonight if you're Montreal. Like, you got to get going here.
Guys, they were awesome on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought they were too.
Man, didn't you? Like, they just carried. They had the whole game in their hand. It's 1-1. And, you know, they outshoot them. I think it was 41-18. And then everybody gets all tied up, and we all talk about that they started a checking group, more or less, and the game's over. And that became the focal point. They forgot about the previous 2.5 hours. Like, so, you know, at the end of a losing streak, maybe you lose when you should win. I guess that's the old adage. They should have won on Saturday. They didn't. And so now they've got a... No, now they got to, it's like half the win night, as you guys said. Like, they've got to win tonight. And it kind of seems like they're going to play well. They might not. I guess it's like anything. They might not, but seems like it to me that they'll play well tonight.
I have this, like, nervous energy to watch Carey Price. I know, and Jamie, you could comment on him doing extra work. I honestly know, I obviously know that's to sharpen up. But you talk about a guy that's under the spotlight to get the job done in net. I'm excited and kind of a little bit nervous and anxious to watch Carey Price tonight, Ray.
I often wonder, like, all that extra work that you guys do, Noodles, like, is it, when you put the work in, is it so you can slow down, so you can relax, so you can just play? Like, that's what I always hoped would happen when I went and shot 1,000, or, you know, a couple hundred pucks after practice, is like, I just hope that the puck feels good on my stick when the game starts. Is that what he's doing?
I think
because
a lot of it.
I'm with you. I'm waiting for him to play great.
It's muscle memory. So, like, I had the bad analogy, the golf analogy last week. Like, he makes all these great saves, and then he allows a muffin. And that's the muscle memory is, all of a sudden, the mind turns on, and it controls the body. You just got to go out and play. And it's easier said than done. But, like, I'm looking for couple things I had written down because I got to talk about them later, like comfort, consistency in the game. We even saw it against the Leafs. He'd make these amazing saves on the power play through a seam back door, and then it's like a straight shot from the blue line, and you got to have that. You're like, okay, well, where's the consistency in the game? And then, so I wrote down no muffins, and ultimately, you got to win. Like, you can't, the moral victories. This isn't the moral victory league. I know people want to, you know, have all of that. And, Ray, we just talked about it. They deserved to win on Saturday against Winnipeg. They were the better team. They didn't. Hellebuyck was fantastic. That's why Hellebuyck won the Vezina last year. You know, and Winnipeg found a way to do it. That's the type of stuff. But when you do extra work, it's like anything. It's just you're putting – it almost helps you mentally going, okay, I put the work in. Well, let's see the results now.
Because it does – it all. I read that stuff, Noodles, and I'm like – I almost kind of half giggle about how you guys are in your own world. So, right. You know, you're struggling away, and they're like, okay, let's go over to the practice ice. And yeah. So he gets to go over there, and I'm struggling away. I can't complete a 10-foot pass, and now I just lose my place in drill. I just fall to the back of the line.
Right. Or the coach whistles it down, and you have to bag skate because you guys can't make a pass.
Start again. You guys can't even make a play.
Right.
And then, you know, and the goalie goes over there, and rightfully so, they've got, get your own position coach, someone that knows what the hell they're talking about, and you go through this stuff where... And in Montreal, in that practice facility, I guess there's nobody there anyway, but most of the, you can't even see the other rink. Yeah. They go over to that other rink and, might as well be on the moon.
I want to add one last thing to that. As a goalie in practice, a lot of times you don't get quality shots out of it because if you're doing 3-on-0s or, two-on-1s and, guys are force-feeding passes, it's a lot of times not realistic plays for a game. So that's why I think a lot of times a goalie coach goes, okay, take some line rushes with the team and then go work on some specialized stuff. That's kind of what I sense. And it's better now. All the teams have three goalies. So one guy can go to another
that's
ice surface
should
and
be,
work
right?
on it. Well, yeah, I mean, Frederik Andersen's getting work.
As he should. Yeah, I mean, we talk about the preferential treatment that some athletes get in different sports, which is natural. You know it.
Right.
There may not be a bigger disparity than the goaltending position. And you could speak to this from your own experience throughout your career, Noodles. Like the starter, when he wants to leave, he leaves. When he wants to work on something else, he works on something else. Yeah. He's not sticking around after practice so the guys can work on one-timers.
No.
But the backup is. And the third stringer definitely is. You're not going anywhere. You're not allowed. No. You have to stick around. But the starter, gone. Massage table,
I remember we're in Hartford, and Mike Liutz, our goalie, and, he was older than all of us, and we were working on some drill that, of course, let the forward shoot the puck from 15 feet dead center, and he just skated out of the net, and he's like, we're done with this drill. We're like, what do you mean? Like, there was no goalie. He's like, no, we're not doing this anymore. This is stupid. And so we changed the drill. And we're
Oh,
come on, man.
Come on. Give me a couple of one-timers here.
Thing is, the backup,
he was gone.
Backup would never do that. I tried changing sides on a drill one time, and Chaser skated by and punched me in the back of the head in Anaheim in a morning skate. I'll never forget it.
Was Tom Barrasso. If an assistant coach took a shot at him during the warm-up where everyone's skating around, he would skate out of the net and yell, NHL players only! I've never in my life seen
how demoralizing.
Oh, my God. He would skate out straight leg and say, NHL players only shoot on me. And then he would just skate. I was like, oh, my God.
That is the funniest thing ever.
The assistant coach would just be horrified. First time I saw it, and he had a temper on that guy. I used to do this drill where I would throw my tape back to the tape rack like there was a shelf underneath the chalkboard. And the tape one time got caught on my finger, and I flicked it, and it hit Tom Barrasso right between the eyes. And he stood up, and he had his goalie stick like he was going to swing it and chop someone's head off. And he said, who was it? I want to know who did that. And I, like a school kid, I put my arm up. I go, Tommy, it was me. He goes, you're lucky I like you. And he sat back down, and I just was like, oh, my God.
So
you're different than me. Oh, I would have been down tying my skates.
Yeah. The old Lloyd Christmas. It was Harry Dunn that threw the pepper shaker, not me. That's the last thing you need. Those are old school stories. They still probably apply today. But we were going to get into the Shaquille O'Neal comment, and I think it applies to the chats that we have on a daily basis here, Ray. And you're in a similar spot to Shaq. I mean, you played for a long, long time, past generation. Now you're a prominent voice in the hockey world. And Shaq has been really critical of players to the point where it gets awkward a little bit. Like, he told Donovan Mitchell to his face, well, I guess he was in studio, but Donovan was on the court, Like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. I don't think you can get to the next level. Like, something along those lines. Like, it was really awkward.
Just being a you-know-what.
Yeah, it was totally uncalled for. And Shaq's explanation was, or his defense is, I'm blunt, I'm honest, and this is what past players used to say to me, so they have to deal with it. And he's continuing to make that push, and he's saying that current players are just soft and they can't take critiques. And I personally think that's inaccurate. I think going over the top and blasting at a guy on national TV in front of millions is different than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar pulling Shaq aside 20 years ago at right. Staples Center. And I also think social media has changed everything compared to when you guys played. You know, like you pick up the paper, you might throw on sports radio, maybe you watch Sports Center, but now if you're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you're going to find negative commentary. Doesn't matter who you are. LeBron James takes heat every day. LeBron takes heat. It's just a different world right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a long time ago I tried to identify what I'm trying to do, to myself anyway. Like, so at least I got a goal when I'm doing the games. And I felt like the people that are watching, for the most part, they've got a pretty good idea what's going on. They understand the game. They're watching it. They like it. If I'm trying to put a blanket over top of every mistake and, oh, gee, that was a good try, and they're going to think that I'm full of crap. So I try to be as honest as I can about what's going on, but I don't, honestly, I don't ever forget that how hard the game is. Like, it's hard. Like, and I don't think people understand sometimes how fast it is and how quickly things happen and how easily it is to get in the wrong place or to make the wrong play. So I think I'm honest and fair, but I just don't find that okay. You're not going to get to the next level.
Right. That's just like, and especially,
like, I don't like that. I don't
over the
that
top.
Wouldn't be me.
It's over the top. And yeah. I guess to be somewhat fair for context, what Shaq was saying was this is what he had said earlier in the show, and he felt that he should tell Donovan that, hey, this is how I feel. It just was unnecessary at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, Donovan Mitchell's a young guy in the league who's a really good player on arguably the best team in the league. He doesn't need to hear that from Shaq.
Well, Shaq could basically say whatever the hell he wants. But if it's me, I'd say if this guy doesn't take it more seriously, if it was a weight problem or something like that, Hayes, if this guy doesn't lose 20 pounds, there's a good chance he doesn't get to the next level. But just to flat out say to a guy you're not getting to the next level, I just think it's a comment.
Yeah, it's totally uncalled for. It's totally over the top. And again, comparing, I think, athletes today and the criticism that they face to 20 or 30 years ago is totally unbalanced. I mean, social media has changed the world, and criticism comes at you from everywhere.
Dude,
now.
Every star player, every time they step on the field, the court, or the ice, every shift is basically on Twitter. Everything.
Yep.
Everything, dude.
Instagram, your whole life. And you can't escape anymore.
No.
Like, you 20 years ago, you'd be like, it's the off season. I'm going to Europe. No one knows who I am over there, and you can leave me alone. You can't do that in today's world. But no escape, ever. For celebrities.
Well, I think a lot of the context, or a lot of the criticism, rather, is out of context. Like, I don't think a lot of people understand, really understand what it's like to play at this level. Like, how could you? It would be like me telling a doctor how to run his office or a mechanic how to fix a car.
Right.
How would I know? Yet, because of the access that everybody has to putting their opinions out there, you can just shred somebody with no repercussion.
Right.
And it's a way harder game than it looks. The game that you're watching on TV is not the game that you played in junior. It's not the game you played in high school. I played in the Little League World Series. I'm almost certain that is not the same game as I'm watching on TV. It's baseball, but it's not the same.
Right.
And yet there are people that believe because they've played at a certain level that they get it, they understand it, they know it, they know exactly what that player is thinking. I don't know how you know what a player's thinking. I can imagine what he is thinking because I was there, but how do you know? Like, Noodles, you might be able to say, man, I think that goalie was looking for the pass there, but Maybe he wasn't. You're not standing in the net. He might have seen something else. So you can only talk about your experience of giving up that goal or making that save, of being in that position.
Right.
Like, that's all we can do. We don't. You can't speak with any, you know, this is garbage and that player is, you know, is no good and he should not be out on this spot. Like, how can you speak so definitively when most of us have made every mistake that we're seeing on TV? Yeah.
There's a way of saying there's a good player that made a bad decision and a bad play.
Sure.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Honesty with respect. That's the way I live it. I live by it. Honesty with respect. And to your point, Brian, it's just the noise is louder and more instantaneous because of social media. Now, I will say this to defend the other side. Like, guys are being paid very handsomely, and I know money isn't the end all be all, but you know it comes with the job. Like, nowadays, job requisition to play in the National Hockey League or basketball or football, like, there is a lot of different types of pressures that are there compared to when all of us were playing junior or pro hockey.
Exactly. Like, the game is still the game.
Right.
It's and Shaq can speak to that. You guys can speak to that. But Shaq can't – what I'm saying is Shaq can't use his life in 2000 and apply it to Kevin Durant's life in 2021 or Donovan Mitchell, because the world has changed so much.
Right.
With social media and with sports media being 24/7. And it's just – it's a different world right now. We'll see. Tomorrow night we got another Leafs Oilers game. There you go, buddy. A 3-pack of games. And
Maybe the Oilers are looking to get on the board.
Yep, looking to get on the board. Just get a goal.
How about that shutouts and back-to-back games? Neither of them are Freddie.
Crazy.
Who is Wall going to play tomorrow? Like, they might as well.
They might as well throw something at it. Yeah, try something different. Go for the hat trick of goalies.
Is Freddie even close? Like, I thought I just read, like, he had a positive day. Is that it? Like,
That's what they said yesterday, too, or the day before. I think he's moving in the tour. I could see him playing Saturday in Vancouver. I could see that. Okay. I don't think he'll play the back-to-back. Like, they play tomorrow, Thursday.
Right.
You know, I would – although Campbell appears to have tweaked something, so do you go with Hutchinson in a back-to-back? Maybe Wall will play. You know, on Thursday in Vancouver.
Was it 20 years ago that Michael Hutchinson couldn't stop a thing, or was it last year?
Well, last
it's
year,
amazing, 10 days ago.
He's won a playoff game last year.
Remember last year when they dump him in there for the second game of back to backs, and it started to look like, oh, they're going to lose. You know, they don't have a chance to win tonight, and they didn't. And then off he went, and then now he looks. I don't know. He looks completely different.
Well, that's when Freddie Frances didn't have a blocker and he used a mitten.
That's right. That's another one of your guys, Freddie Frances. I forgot that.
Once again, we're all respectful and guys just don't.
Yeah, exactly. We're just a bunch of good guys here. We'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
See you, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They are giving you a break this March with rates from 0% and up to $3,000 back on in-stock 2020 Highlander hybrids. Visit MapleToyota.com. Quick Leaf update here. Mark Masters tweeting out, Matthews skated today on a regular line, hoping to play tomorrow night. Anderson had a positive day, may return tomorrow night. So maybe he will go over the next two nights. Campbell practice today, won't dress tomorrow, which means he won't play tomorrow, likely won't play Thursday in Vancouver. And Nylander just had a maintenance day dealing with a nagging issue, but will likely play tomorrow night. So, they're
a lot of updates.
They're the walking wounded out there, but they're picking up wins, and that's all that matters right now. Confirm or deny coming up in just over half an hour. Keegan Matheson from MLB.com covering the Jays. He's one of the few down in Dunedin. Saw Austin Martin play, saw George Springer play earlier today. We'll catch up with Keegan in about an hour. And Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Detroit Lions, has added to his repertoire of outrageous comments at the podium down in Detroit. So we'll play it for you. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, we cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to in about a half an hour. Keegan Matheson of MLB.com, live from Dunedin in just over an hour. So Dan Campbell is a guy we were not familiar with until about 2 months ago, right? When the Detroit Lions decided to hire him as their new head coach. and he feels like he is just a more hyper, over-the-top Matt Patricia, basically, who they decided they had to move on from.
Play that audio, too. Play his first one. Lead into it.
That's
play
what we're going to do. All right. This is a little refresher course because he had another piece of audio recently in Detroit about he and his GM deciding on personnel. And for those of you not familiar with Dan Campbell, obviously you weren't listening to this show because we played this clip, I'd say, 3 or 4 days in a row when it originally came to our attention about a month ago. But this was his introductory presser in Detroit explaining what his team is going to be all about and his coaching style. This is Dan Campbell, the new head coach down in Detroit with the Lions.
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
And he just kept going and going and going.
Oh, he said, you're going to throw us down again. On the way up, we're going to bite another kneecap off.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, it's good. We're going to be the last one standing.
Right. He is a proponent of cannibalism and biting kneecaps off to prove that you're a quality football team.
I can't wait to hear this new one. I can't.
Yeah. So it's not as aggressive, and it's not, again, cannibalistic, but it is consistent with this guy's MO and what he is all about. So he was being asked about how he builds the team, how the GM will build the team, and the media wanted to know, you know, who gets the final say? How is this going to play out in terms of making a decision on certain players? And here's what Dan Campbell had to say earlier today.
Here's what I'd say about a true alpha. A true alpha knows when it's time to concede for the betterment of the team.
A true alpha. This guy calls himself a true alpha. In front of a live mic, in front of a podium, to the public down in Detroit. So it's consistent. It's not quite, again, as graphic as biting kneecaps off to prove that you're a good football team.
I'm not going to lie.
On the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
But if you have to say a true alpha, like if you have to say I'm a true alpha, then you're not a true alpha.
But
like
you're
a phony.
You're trying to put forth the front that you're the alpha dog, that you're the wolf, and it's just something I don't remember.
You let someone else call you a true alpha. You don't call yourself that.
That's it, exactly.
Like you call Victor Hedman, that guy's the alpha dog on defense. He's the man. He's the alpha dog.
Right. I always play the Bill Belichick game. What would Bill Belichick not say ever in his life? And that is one thing he would never say. Imagine Belichick saying, well, a true alpha knows when to concede. This guy has still not coached a game. They haven't had a mini camp. And every time he's up on the mic and at the podium, he's trying to give you a headline.
He's
clearly trying to do. He's trying to be a hero.
Yeah, he's trying to be a hero, and I think it's going to backfire on him.
I fully expect it will. And the history of that team would suggest it can't work anyway because Detroit, they just lose. That's what the Lions do.
Well, and the team, does it project to be any better next year?
No, terrible. Well,
it's not good, and then you've got a hero coach that is, I mean, he's shooting from the – you know who changed, though? Baker Mayfield talked like that, and then he got better
a little bit better.
As he produced and as he became a better, more confident quarterback, then he didn't have to have the lip service and didn't have to be a hero.
Well, I wonder if that lip service is still there, but we receive it differently because he was winning ball games. Like he may have still had a little bit of the same lippiness and same kind of attitude, but when you're 11-5 and in the playoffs and winning playoff games, it comes off as, you know, sure of yourself and confident. If you're 3-13, you're cocky and putting forth the front.
Jamie, you just mentioned Baker Mayfield, and it made me think of something I saw on Twitter today, and I honestly don't know if I was being punked. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, I believe thinks he's going to take a crack at playing pro golf. And I just saw it, and I'm like, come on. You're turning into a circus carny.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone takes him seriously with that. That has made the rounds. There have been publications picking it up.
Not one time have you ever heard Johnny Manziel. That guy's a stick. Like, he can...
No, I have no idea what his handicap is. I thought I read that
stupid,
he said he's going to give himself 12 years to make the tour.
What
the hell does that mean?
12 years?
Yeah. It's a joke. But listen, the golf world, we love golf. We love the golf world. They love when outside celebrities talk about their sport.
Dude, Aaron Oberholzer was like, yeah, I'm going to play football in a couple years too. I got a great arm. Then he's like, this is a joke. Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's Johnny Manziel, I guess, still has name recognition, street cred. You know, you attach him to your sport or whatever. Listen, we went through it up here. Remember when he was coming up to the CFL? People were still fired up for Johnny Manziel.
Dude, we were so fired up to have him on this show.
We had him on multiple times. We had him on multiple times on the show. And he was a good interview. You know, I don't have anything personal against Johnny Manziel, but he had all that hype.
But he's one of those.
And he was a bust.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of those guys that you've heard. He's a household name who's done nothing. That's what it is.
At the NFL level, nothing. College football legend and deserves that legend.
I know,
and it's college, but it means a lot in the States, right? And
right.
But where he went to school, he's a legend.
Tebow was a two-sport failure, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes, he was.
No, yes or no?
He was. Yes, he never made it to Major League Baseball.
Right, he couldn't play in the NFL, and he couldn't play in Major League Baseball.
Well, yeah. But you can't say he couldn't play in the NFL. He had his cup of tea, and he had a bigger run than a lot of guys get.
He made it. Okay. But Manziel technically made it, too. You know, it depends on your definition.
Well, my definition is these guys were can't-miss superstars, household names. That's all you heard. They're not. We don't talk about them in the same breath as Rodgers or anybody else who had name recognition and has stayed and dominated the league for many years. Like these guys were, you know, I think there were a lot of hype, and then they didn't back it up.
Well, a lot of that was what we're seeing right now with Manziel, that the media was captivated by him. There was clearly data, you know, supporting the fact that people would click on the story if his name was involved. Watch the video clip, check out SportsCenter, continue to listen on sports radio, and Tebow was the same thing. Like, because of who they were in college, because of what happened to them in their personal lives, more so Manziel than Tebow, it just became something that almost laziness, but I can understand it because we're in the industry. It's like that's a hit. It's like a hit song you could always play. You know, classic rock radio, you can always go back to Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah,
if you want to.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama. Like, you play it, and Highway to Hell by AC/DC. You play it, and people will be like, yeah, okay, I'm in. And it's the same thing with Manziel and Tebow, where you attach their name to a story, and you're banking on people continuing to check it out. And this is an example. Like, Manziel, he's not playing on tour. Happy Gilmore has a better chance of playing on the PGA Tour than Johnny Manziel. But golf.com, I'll bet you PGA players will be asked about it down at Bay Hill. Hey, you ever play with Johnny?
No, they'll still laugh it off and say, I'm not even answering the question.
They might, but it doesn't matter how they respond. The fact that the question could be asked says everything about Manziel.
It'll be two days of questions, and the guys will be like, that's enough of that.
He's
then
never
this guy's
going
to go to some USAM qualifying thing and shoot 110, and the dream's over.
But, I mean,
that's how this plays out.
But somebody wrote in, again, I don't know if it's verified or not, apparently he's a scratch golfer.
Like, dude, Tony Romo is an incredible amateur golfer. He basically
he basically
tees it up with pros in Dallas, and he holds his own. He showed up at Puerto Rico last year, and he couldn't come close to making the cut.
I know.
And he's taking a professional's spot because he's Tony Romo, and this guy cannot. Hayes, we were having bets because he was close to making the cut, and we're like, watch this guy take a dump on the 15th fairway, and he went double bogey, double bogey, double bogey, and missed the cut.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, day one, I think he was two under. So I think he was ahead of Mickelson after day one.
We talked about it on the show.
He was on the cut line with four holes left, and he absolutely soiled his underpants.
Like somebody did on the weekend. Did you guys?
Boy,
I'm
Mike
sure
Weir.
I'm sure the you Weir's got Z-mobile. Into it yesterday.
Well, I feel for Weirzy because he's knocking on the door. He's actually playing pretty well in the seniors tour.
Don't kid yourself, Brian. That would have been taxing on the Weirzy-mobile losing that tournament. He hasn't won a professional golf tournament since 2007. You don't think that he thought to himself, man, I got to lock this down so people stop asking me about this crap?
Absolutely. He's standing on the 19th, four shots clear. Four shots clear with 10 to go.
Yeah, you're just saying make a couple birdies on the back nine here, which is easier said than done.
Right.
And Kevin Sutherland, that little
that guy drives me nuts.
He does with that towel. I want to grab the towel.
The towel.
And just throw him in the lake.
Yeah.
But
Mr. Perfect.
But you know that he's just a little grinder, and he was just grinding away in the towel.
Man.
Yeah.
That approach on 18 was money. I got to give him credit. Like, he threw a little dart.
The only two shots for Weirzy where I thought he could have, like, obviously the putt on the par three, got to make it. And the sand shot on 17, and was like, dude, that's a standard up and down for a pro golfer. And you sizzled one by into the rough above the pin. It was like,
terrible shot. Terrible shot. He had about 30 feet of green to play with. Then he
put
it 15 feet past.
And then center of the green on 18, he goes Ted Potter Jr., Weirzy, J-Mac. And it's 85 feet from the hole.
Yeah.
It's like, Weirzy, come on. Help yourself out.
Weirzy, come on, man. I needed that one, Weirzy. I needed
not
that one.
Yeah. We're not going to discuss where the betting was lying.
No, we won't. We'll stay out of that. But no. Listen, the Champions Tour, not generally on my radar, but it was on Sunday.
Oh, I was captivated. Totally.
I was quite captivated. Quite captivated. Anyway, cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to in about 20 minutes. Keegan Mathieson of MLB.com in about 45. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the Raptors were supposed to play Detroit tonight. That game postponed until tomorrow. And I guess that leads you to some sort of optimism that they can feel the team and actually play. And we're on airplane watch because I guess Detroit actually flew down there. So maybe the NBA told them they have to, or the NBA has told them they think they're going to get the clear and the go-ahead here, and the Raptors will play tomorrow night, which would be a huge positive. And a surprise for me.
Speaking of positive, what are they looking for? They have to have a bunch of negative tests come back
for
the Raps?
Yeah, it must be. I mean, it must have been more about tracing than positives come up. Or maybe it was false positives. I don't know. I mean, they don't reveal all that information. But they have to have eight players for the game tomorrow night. Who knows if they'll have it. But if they get to 8+ and they're at home against Detroit, they should still win that game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how bad Detroit is right now. And Sidney Crosby not playing tonight. COVID protocol. Again, no more details on whether or not it's a positive test or a false positive or contact tracing. We don't know that. But biggest game in the name, not or biggest name in the game, not playing tonight due to COVID.
I mean, and the numbers had gotten so low as of yesterday. They were
league wide,
in a massive series against the Flyers too. Like they got it's probably between one of them. One of them's not making the playoffs, so that's huge for Pitt, man.
Yeah. Well, they've
you can do.
No, they've been forced to play without Sidney before. That's, you know, ultimately they've got to do it again. And there's no excuses, unfortunately. This is a weird season. Mm-hmm. Like, COVID has shut down, you know, teams' games postponed. Like, the disparity in games played is still something that is crazy. Like, Dallas has played 16 games. There are teams that have played, like, 23, 24. Mm-hmm. Edmonton's played 24. I think Vancouver's right there, too. Vancouver's played 25 games. Dallas has played 16. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is a big disparity. And they're running out of time to make it all up.
Yep.
So,
agreed.
You know, I don't know when they're going to make a call on that in terms of points percentage or if they're going to just try to make it happen and extend the season. I don't know.
Right.
But something will have to give. And I guess we can't be that surprised with the Raptors. Like, they're in Florida. You know, like, it happened so quickly, I don't think we had a chance to take a step back and say, wait a minute, they're going to Florida. And
that's poof. They're all down there. Cars are down there. Teams down there. Floor's in Tampa, and it was done.
And it's almost like we're not surprised that COVID caught up to them. And that doesn't mean they were being reckless. It just means you're living down there. You know, like down in the States, it's still a different world. I guess Biden said today they think they can get every adult vaccinated by the end of May. That means the States is going to be wide open. Like, their July 4th parties are going to be off the charts, how that country is going to react. And
how
obviously
much would you give to be there?
Can you imagine? And you know what it also says when we were going back and forth in the internal chain? The playoffs for the NHL and the NBA, packed barn. Packed barn.
Yep.
Packed barn by June anyway. Like, if everyone's done by the end of May, they're just going to – like, Texas, that's a domino effect. Their governor came out today and said, we're wide open. That means Florida won't be far behind. Arizona won't be far behind. They're just going to start. I would assume that means, like, Stars. Talk about Dallas Stars. They're going to have 20,000 people in the building. potentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, now maybe the NHL won't allow for it. It's still your building and your protocols, and you can do whatever you want to do. But that's a couple teams down there in the NBA, the NHL, baseball.
Well, if everyone's getting it, remember Gary Bettman, he might have said that on our show. You've asked him that, didn't Hayes? Like, if they have access to the vaccine, like if Texas and Dallas, if those guys can get done, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
If it's right there and accessible, do it.
He basically said that. Like, it's not going to be a league-wide thing. It's going to be based on an individual basis, where if the Florida Panthers can all get in, go. If the Stars can all go in, go. And, again, I think the Canadian teams would be on the wrong side of that more than likely, which you speak of disparity. That said, we haven't had any COVID issues up here, knock on wood, with our teams, which I think is something we should be proud of as a country. But, we're just on a different road, going at a different pace. We're going about 40, and they're going 100.
We're not going 40, dude. Well, we're going 10.
We're moving in the right direction. And hopefully, again, if the states reach – that number, then all of a sudden, maybe they can help us out a little bit.
Yeah, they're great.
We'll see. Hour three coming up. Cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to at 6:05. Keegan Mathison of MLB.com at 6:25. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.